In the second part of the book, four case studies are explored. In Wajir, Kenya, the question of security governance, brainstorming, and differentiation between positions and interests.
And sometimes it just you're trying to look for a magic solution that will end this problem today.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to go into this space where you sit down and sort of go out on a table and sort of say, okay, let's plan the way out of this problem. So we had this, I remember one day, we had this crazy idea. We were two women and a mama, and we sat at a table and we sort of said, our analysis then of the problem was that there were a lot of guns in the hands of the community, in the hands of the youth, and should we actually do disarmament? Would that help with the mediation process? If we get all the guns, how do we get all the guns? Let's buy all the guns. Oh, should we buy all the guns? No. The guns are useless. Let's buy out all the bullets. So how many bullets do all these youth have collectively? Maybe they have 6,000. No, maybe they have 10,000. What's the cost of a bullet? So we go into the mathematics of, actually, yes, if we get somebody to finance us and we covertly buy all the bullets from Wajir town today, then there will be no this gun violence every night. Because at that time, we're in the middle of the crisis. Death every day. You sleep in the evening, you're not sure where you wake up. Your door, next door neighbor is attacked. This village is attacked. So, and we were feeling that, you know, and people could not come for the process of the dialogue, the process of talking. And the people's personal safety was really at risk. And we just sort of thought, let's have this plan. And we took pen and paper, and hours and hours and hours on end, we calculated how much money we needed. And having felt that, yes, the plan is there, and it lifts you from the depression you feel that moment. It lifts you from that depression, and it lifts you up to a space where you sort of feel, that's it. Maybe we can talk to UNDP, maybe we can talk to World Bank, maybe you can just buy this. And with that, then what do we do with the bullets, all the bullets that we've received? You know, we've collected all these, and you know, it helps you go into this space where you've already solved that problem. And then you look at the secondary problem. And what do we do? We should put it in a helicopter and then fly to the Indian Ocean and then drop it there. It just sounds crazy, you know? And it's just that the crazy moment's like, that's a good idea. And it's like, oh. And then you realize, oh my God, you can buy all the bullets in Wajir, but where is the source of the bullets? Where is the source of the bullets? So in a funny way, you're doing the analysis of one sector.
Yeah.
And oh, it's from Somalia, oh my God. It's from Ethiopia, oh my God. It's from the Kenyan police officers who are corrupt, who are saying, the Bedouin, I mean, we can buy forever, we can drop it in the ocean forever, but we're going to create a ready market for this. This actually sounds crazy. And we burst into laughter.
Yes.
But that sort of, that also later on led to giving us an energy of, okay, well, we can start the mediation, we can start a community education on the guns and the bullets. Sort of we ask somebody, you know, how much money did you use to buy this gun? I used 40,000. How many goats is that? 80 goats. And then the bullets, 70 shillings, like a dollar. How many do you have? For my safety, I have that much. How many goats and how many milk is that?
Mm-hmm.
You see, 80 goats in a good year, 6 months, you have 120.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 year, you have 160 goats. But this gun, your asset is frozen into this gun, and it kills. It can kill you, it can kill your family. So it's like, but it is not reproducing anybody, it's just killing. This is a killing machine. So we went into educating, but it's like, but I don't have my safety. If you can assure me nobody's going to kill me and my family and take away my livestock, I want to keep my remaining members of my family. I want to keep. So people's own safety and security is like, yes, the government security officers are the ones selling the bullets. They're corrupt. We get it from them. We get it from Somalia. We get it from. In fact, the chip source is from. So people now tell you, you sort of have the loop. How the systems are connected to one another. So you move away from focusing on reconciling the groups within the community who are fighting and having the violence, to focusing on how do we create good governance and how do we police the police to make sure that at least the institutions, the judiciary, the security, these guys do not contribute to the escalation of the violence. So in doing that, then what we managed to do was, that is the idea that, okay, for any, like, vehicles used to go on escort, the police will go on escort, and the police will sort of say, oh, we saw bandits and we shot at 20 rounds of ammunition and 100 rounds of ammunition and did you kill them? No. Did you get their gun? No. Then you lost 100 bullets. So what we got a very good district commissioner who was the chair for the peace, and he sort of said, when you fire 100 rounds, not a problem. If you didn't kill them, if you didn't get their guns, but bring me the empty casings. Mm-hmm. You bring back the empty casings. And the government official was like, if you don't bring back the empty casings, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, and when you are shooting, who was there? Who can verify? So a sort of an internal mechanism, checks and balances, verification mechanisms, holding the security institutions accountable. Because what was happening was that some of the security officers were locals and were siding with their families, with their clans. So they were taking the guns, the ammunition as their contribution to the violence. And some were just selling it for the money. So when we got this good government officer, he sort of said, that's it, bring me the empty casings. And then when we started the rapid response teams who were going out, it was the state security personnel and the community to go out together so that they can verify, so that the community will feel confident to talk to the security, because there's an elder and these guys don't commit human rights abuses. Mm-hmm. And then why the elders are there is that so that the people don't fear talking to the security. So you create a partnership. So once we were sure that our security institutions were not being part of the escalation of the violence, it unblocked the stagnation in the processes. Mm-hmm.